happening to me right now. Let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto thee, our Lord, my God, our rock and our salvation. Well, I want to talk to you today about the epistle reading that Jessica read so well. That's going to be the subject of my message to you, because it seems like I was just talking to you not too long ago about Jesus walking on the water, and here it is again. So we're going to talk about this beautiful prayer that Paul brings to the church in Ephesus, but since the Holy Spirit decided that it should be included in the canon of Scripture, it's included for you too, right? So we are with the people of Ephesus that are receiving this prayer that Paul is making on my behalf and on your behalf. And it's an incredible prayer. It is just so awesome. Let me talk to you a little bit before I get into that and start going over it verse by verse. And who has a prayer life? You guys do prayer? We talked about that a little bit earlier. What do you pray about? Direction, discernment, what else? Perception? Oh, protection, yeah. What else? Respectful? Oh, thankful, yeah, we give gratitude to God. Yeah, all of these things. Yeah, no, we don't have masks on, so I can hear you so much better. Oh, thanks be to God, it really worked. Well, you know, I don't know if you knew this or not, but even with masks on, I could tell when you're sleeping. Because your masks don't generally cover your eyes, and it's not that far back there. So yeah, we pray about all these things, and I think all that's important. You know, I like to pray for my kids. I like to pray for my family, pray for my pets, pray for the world, pray that people would come to know Christ, all those kind of things, and it's all important. But Paul nails this one out of the park, because he doesn't just talk about physical things and social things. Like if you're a young person, like Blessing's age, you know, you might be praying that God would put some special young person into his life that he could be romantic with. And so there's a lot of social things that are going on too. A lot of trying to be accepted, a lot of trying to fit in. God, please help me to fit in. But Paul leaves the social, he leaves the physical, and he hits the spiritual. Let's take a look at his prayer as we go through this again. He says, for this reason I kneel before, well, what reason? Let's go back to verse right before this, verse 13. Because Paul is in prison in Rome. He's going to be beheaded. Now, our text starts with verse 14, so you're going to have to trust me on verse 13, or you can look it up in the Bible. There's one on your pew. It's red. Maybe you brought your own, like good Lutherans should always. You know, I did a wedding one time. This is off the subject completely. I did a wedding one time at these Baptist couples. And we were bragging about how biblically based our churches were. And she said to me, with great pride sticking out her chest, she goes, you know how my pastor starts every single sermon? I go, I don't know how. He goes, open your Bibles too. That's what we base our sermons on. And I said, well, that's awesome. What I was thinking in my mind was, well, before we get to the sermon, we've already opened our Bibles, lady. We've already read from the Psalm, from the Old Testament and the New Testament. So booyah. But it's not a competition, right? So where was I? Okay, so we're going to go to verse 13. Paul says, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. So Paul's in prison. Paul is suffering in prison. And then he espouses this beautiful prayer for us and for the Ephesians. And for this reason, because he's suffering, because he's in prison, but he's in prison for the gospel. You know, that Jesus wrote it was described by the writer of Hebrews that said that he went to the cross for the joy set before him. Can you believe it? He would go to the cross for the joy. When I think about being nailed to a tree, when I think about being whipped till my bones are coming out, I'm not thinking of joy, are you? But you see, God knew that's the only way that he could bring us into his kingdom. So he loves us so much, It was his joy to suffer for us that way. And Paul is passing this on in a much lesser form, but yet it's for his, for God's glory that I'm suffering. And he goes on to say, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. The Greek talks about the fatherhood. So God is the father of everybody, right? God is the father of everybody. Every single tribe in this world, every single nation, every single religion, God is the father of them all. So Paul is saying here that because of who we are in Christ, because we've been adopted in the waters of our baptism into his kingdom, we have unity with all people. At least we should have unity because we're all brothers and sisters. We all have the same father. So it's not a competition. It's not one trying to outdo the other. It's not hating someone, being suspicious of someone else. It's accepting them as your sibling. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you. Anybody want to be weaker? No. He may strengthen you. How? With what? With power through his spirit. Where? In your inner being, in your guts, in the very center of who you are. Paul is praying that God will strengthen us. With what? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? You know, Paul is quite an orator, and let's not be intimidated by Paul's greatness of his prayers, because even though he's a great writer, guess who it is that compelled him? It's the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were moved along by the Holy Spirit." So yes, this prayer has Paul's personality into it, but it was carried and the words were given to him by the Holy Spirit. Guess what? It's the same Holy Spirit that's alive in you. So I might say to myself one day, gosh, I just don't know what to pray. Well, God's got an answer for that, right? Paul wrote in Romans 8:26, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans that are too deep for us to comprehend." So we just have to go through the act. We just have to make time for this prayer. So what do you pray about when you don't know what to pray about? You just throw yourself at the throne of God's grace and just put yourself there. And let the Spirit move you to talk. It's the same Spirit that taught Paul how to pray that's alive in you. To me, that is completely remarkable. So, Paul's praying that we will experience the presence of God in us. Now, that's a kind of a dangerous word, and let me explain why. Because whether you experience it or not, it's kind of based on a feeling, right? So which is more close to being validated true? My feelings about something or what God says about something? It's what God says about something, right? I might feel completely different. I might be ambivalent about something that God says. I might be ambivalent about that God says, "I made you my child." I might be ambivalent, in other words, go either way, because people are, how many of you have ever had someone call you a piece of work? Man, you are a piece of work. Do you know what God says? God says that you are Christ's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work that God has prepared in advance for you to do. You are his work. The Greek word for workmanship is poema. We are God's crowning work of art. Of all the beautiful things in this world, all the wonderful wonders of the universe, you are the most incredible one of them all. You are special. You are significant. You are unique. There is no one else like you. And my mother would say, thank God that God broke that mold, but God loves it. So we shouldn't have to try to be someone we're not, amen? We should rejoice in who we are, because really, nobody has the same two fingerprints. We don't have the same voice patterns. We don't have the same DNA. God created us special and unique to be who we are. But the world doesn't want to leave us like that. The world wants to tell us you're a piece of work. Well, what are you going to listen to? The world, or are you going to listen to God? God says, you're my work of art. You're my crowning achievement. And I think one of the big problems that we have that as human beings is this general feeling of worthlessness. Like, what's my purpose? I think there's two things that God does for us that every single human being needs. One, we need to be loved, amen? We need to be loved. And number two, we need to have a purpose. We need to have a reason to get up in the morning. God gives us both of these things. For you are God's workmanship. You are his work of art. For what? Created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has created ahead of in time for you to do. So we have a purpose. Our purpose is to serve God and to serve others. And we are greatly loved, even though sometimes we don't feel like it. Let me give you this illustration. Normally, I'd have a $50 bill in my wallet, but this is a 50 without a zero. So we're using a 5 here. Anybody like to have a 5? Take it? Okay, how about now? I'm going to wad it up. Yeah? You still take it? Look at it. It's all crumpled up. It's all wrinkled. Okay, check this out. You don't know where these shoes have been. I'm not even sure. Oh, look at this thing. Who would take it now? Why? It's all wrinkled, crumpled up, stomped on with shoes that who knows where they've been. You'd still take it. Why? Because it still has value, right? That's the message. That sometimes our life watches us up in a little ball and tries to throw us away. Sometimes the decisions that we make us being stomped on like trash under our feet. But we never lose our value to God. God will always keep us as the apple of his eye. So no matter how wadded up we might be, you are special to God. There's no one like you. Ah, thanks be to God. What an incredible, incredible gift. Now, there's different tools that you can use for prayer. Have you heard of the ACTS acronym? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. So the first thing we do is we adore God. And I really recommend that. Break out your old catechism. Find the attributes of the three persons of the Trinity. And thank God for those things. Because by doing so, you're going to bring to mind how God is so special and how he holds you to be so special. How God is a resource for us in any single situation that we're ever going to face in life. Pray, adoration, confess. Lord, I confess. I don't know what I should say. Lord, I confess that I've made a lot of mistakes, God. And give him thanks that he's a forgiving, loving God. And then bring supplication. Lord, I pray that people of the world will find you, will hear. I pray that you would use me to spread the word, to share your name among many people. I pray that I'd win the lottery. I pray for a new Lamborghini. No, I don't pray for that. That's kind of ridiculous. God is not a genie. He's not something in a bottle that we can rub and he pops up. God says, whatever you ask in my name. So whatever you ask for according to his will, how's it going to further his kingdom? He will come through for us. So God's power is at work in us. So all I got to do is ask for something and just sit on the sofa and wait, right? So God, bring me a big crop of potatoes. I'm going to sit here and watch the Padres play. No, if you pray for potatoes, guess what? You should pick up a shovel, amen? Pick up a shovel, you dig the hole, you put the potatoes in there, and then God's going to give the growth. God will do for us what we're unable to do for ourselves. But God loves us so much that it pleases him to use us in the process of becoming the man or woman that he intended us to be when he created us. And that's the wonderful thing, is we're not just led as spectators, we're active participants, that God himself has filled us with his spirit that we might do incredible things. Incredible things. Jesus said, greater things than I have done shall you do. It's amazing what God wants to do in your life. I'm going to close with this story about this little town in the Midwest. I'm from Iowa, and I understand this. It was there's the great concert pianist Paderucci was going to visit them. It was the event of the decade. So everybody was turned out in their Sunday best. The school auditorium was sparkling. Grand piano was buffed. It was sitting on the stage, spotlights on it. Everybody was there early. They're talking back and forth before the show begins, excitedly, expectantly waiting for Paderucci to come out. Well, in the second row was right where you ladies are sitting. There was a little boy that's mother was hoping that he would be inspired to take piano lessons. He'd been messing around with the piano a little bit. So they're all talking, and pretty soon they hear this bum, 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 bum. Silence. Everybody's thinking, that brat's going to ruin it for everyone. Where's his parents? Get him off the stage. How did he get up there? Paderucci, meantime, is in the back, and he sees what's happening. He doesn't even put on his coat. He doesn't wait for an introduction. He just runs out, and he puts his arms around this little kid as they're playing, and he does this incredible counter melody to the simple tune of Chopsticks. Isn't that awesome? That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. God isn't asking for much. He's just saying, use what you got. Bring it to me. Play. Pump, 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 pump. Thump, and trust that he's going to make it into a masterpiece. I'm going to close with the final verse from our epistle reading for today. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.